Shri Srimad's Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki, ISKCON Founder, Acharya, Srila Prabhupada Ki, Ananti Goti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. It's reading from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, Chapter 10, entitled The Lord Returns to Jagannath Puri, Text 120 to 136. And we'll chant the verses together until we get to 136, and then we'll chant responsively. Uttana Mahaprabhu Kaila Alingana Dui Jane Prema Veshe Haila E Chaitana. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu raised Swarup Damodar to his feet and embraced him. They both became ecstatic in love and fell unconscious. Kata shane dui jane stira yabe haila tabe mahaprabhu tanre kahite lagila. After they had regained their patience, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began to speak. Tumi ye asibe aji swapne te dekhila hala haila andhayena dui netra paila. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, I saw in a dream that you were coming, and so this is very auspicious. I've been like a blind man, but your coming here restores my vision. Swarupa kai prabhu mora chama aparada toma chadi anyatra genu karinu pramada. Swarup said, my dear Lord, please excuse my offense. I gave up your company to go elsewhere, and that was my great mistake. Tomara charane mora nahi prema lesha toma chadi papi muni genu anya desha. My dear Lord, I do not possess even a trace of love for your lotus feet. If I did, how could I have gone to another country? I am therefore a most sinful man. Muni toma chadila tumi more na chadila. Kripa pasa gale bandhi charane anila. I gave up your company, but you did not give me up. By your rope of mercy, you have bound me by the neck and brought me back again to your lotus feet. Tabe swarupa kaila nithaira charana vandana nityananda prabhu kaila prema alindana. Swarup Damodar then worshipped the lotus feet of Nityananda Prabhu, and Nityananda Prabhu in turn embraced him in the ecstasy of love. Jagadananda Mukunda Sankara Svarvabhauma Sabha Sange Yata Yogya Kaila Nilana. After worshipping Nityananda Prabhu, Swarup Damodar met Jagad Ananda, Mukunda, Sankara, and Sarvabhauma, as was befitting. Param Ananda Purira Kaila Charna Vandana Puri Gosani Danre Kaila Prema Alingana. Srup Damodar also offered his worshipful prayers at the lotus feet of Paramananda Puri, who in return embraced him in ecstatic love. Mahaprabhu Dila Tanre Nirhite Vasaghara Chaladi Paricharya Lagi Dila Eka Kintara. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then gave Swarup Damodar residence in a solitary place and ordered a servant to serve him with a supply of water and other necessities. Aradina Sarvabhauma Adi Bhakta Sange Tasya Anchena Mahaprabhu Krishna Katarange. The next day, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sat with all the devotees, headed by Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, and they discussed the pastimes of Krishna. Hena Kale Govindera Haila Agamana Dandavaktari Kahe Vinaya Vachana. At that time, Govinda appeared on the scene, offered his respectful obeisances, and spoke submissively. Ishvara Purira Vritya Govinda Moranama Puri Gosanira Agaya Anutamarastana. I am the servant of Ishvara Puri. My name is Govinda, and following the orders of my spiritual master, I have come here. Siddha Prapti Kale Gosani Aga Dharamore Krishna Chaitanya Nikate Rahi Seviha Tanhare. Just before his departure from this mortal world to attain the highest perfection, Ishvara Puri told me that I should go to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and render service unto him. Kashishvara Asibena Sabatirta Dekiya Prabhu Agaya Muni Ainu Toma Pade Dhana. Kashishvara will also come here after visiting all the holy places. However, following the orders of my spiritual master, I have hastily come to be present at your lotus feet. Gosani Kahila Purishvara Vatsalya Kare More Kripa Kari Mora Tani Pataila Tomare. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied, my spiritual master, Ishvara Puri, always favors me with eternal affection. Therefore, out of his causeless mercy, he has sent you here. So we'll chant responsively. Eta suni sarva bhauma prabhure putila. Puri gosani sudra sevaka kahi tarakila.
Puri gosani
sudra sevaka kahi tarakila. Eta suni sarva bhauma prabhure putila. Puri gosani sudra sevaka kane tarakila.
Puri gosani sudra sevaka
kane tarakila. Eta suni sarvabhauma prabhure puchila.
Eta suni sarvabhauma prabhure puchila.
Puri gosani sudra sevaka kane tarakila. Eta suni sarvabhauma prabhure
puchila.
Etasuni, hearing this, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, Prabhure, unto the Lord, Puchila, inquired, Puri Gosani, Ishvara Puri, Sudra Sevaka, a servant who is a Sudra. Kanheta, why? Rakila, kept. Translation. After hearing this, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya asked Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, why did Ishvara Puri keep a servant who comes from a Sudra family? Let's read this together. After hearing this, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya asked Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, why did Ishvara Puri keep a servant who comes from a Sudra family? Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Both Kashishwara and Govinda were personal servants of Ishvara Puri. After Ishvara Puri's demise, Kashishwara went to visit all the holy places of India. Following the orders of his spiritual master, Govinda immediately went to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for shelter. Govinda came from a Shudra family, but because he was initiated by Ishvara Puri, he was certainly a Brahmana. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya here asked Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu why Ishvara Puri accepted a disciple from a Shudra family. According to the Smriti Shastra, which gives directions for the management of the Varnashram institution, a Brahmin cannot accept a disciple from the lower castes. In other words, a Kshatriya, Vaishya, or Shudra cannot be accepted as a servant. If a spiritual master accepts such a person, he is contaminated. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya therefore asked why Ishvara Puri accepted a servant or disciple born of a Shudra family. In answer to this question, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied that his spiritual master, Ishvara Puri, was so empowered that he was as good as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As such, Ishvara Puri was the spiritual master of the whole world. He was not a servant of any mundane rule or regulation. An empowered spiritual master like Ishvara Puri can bestow his mercy upon anyone, irrespective of caste or creed. The conclusion is that an empowered spiritual master is authorized by Krishna and his own guru, and should therefore be considered as good as the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. That is the verdict of Vishwanath Chakravarti. Saksha Daryudvena. An authorized spiritual master is as good as Hari, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As Hari is free to act as he likes, the empowered spiritual master is also free. As Hari is not subject to mundane rules and regulations, the spiritual master empowered by him is also not subject. According to the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Antya Lila 7, Chapter 7, Text 11, Krishna Shakti Vina Nahe Tara Pravartana. An authorized spiritual master empowered by Krishna can spread the glories of the holy name of the Lord, for he has power of attorney from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In the mundane world, anyone possessing his master's power of attorney can act on behalf of his master. Similarly, a spiritual master empowered by Krishna through his own bona fide spiritual master should be considered as good as the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. That is the meaning of Saksha Dharidvena. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu therefore describes the activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the bona fide spiritual master as follows. After hearing this, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya asked Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, why did Ishwara Puri keep a servant who comes from a Shudra family? So I just wanted to kind of summarize the last few classes to bring us up to this point. Because we hear of Paramananda Puri, who's there, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had returned to Jagannath Puri, and the devotees have been coming in this chapter from all over to meet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Jagannath Puri. And we Swarup Damodar, as he's an intimate associate of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he's from Navadvip, and he's most recently arrived. And we hear that Swarup Damodar, as a brahmachari, whose name was given was Swarup. But when he was initiated by Chaitanya Nanda, he chose to keep the name Swarup and not take the name Tirtha. And he received the name, Prabhupada explains in one of the purports that he's received this name Damodar from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu because he's an excellent musician and singer. And last week, we heard from Dravida Prabhu's very nice class how Swarup Damodar gives his prostrated obeisances at the feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and then speaks this very nice prayer. And so this week, we start there, where Swarup Damodar is at the feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu embraces him. And then we hear how the next to arrive is Govinda, who is one of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's godbrothers, and how recently Ishwara Puri had left his body, and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya asked the question, why is it that Ishwara Puri has accepted a servant or disciple who's born of a Shudra family? And in the purport, Srila Prabhupada explains that Saksha Dharidvena makes that point that the spiritual master is as good as Krishna. And he's not controlled by the material nature. So we are receiving the mercy of Krishna in spite of our material position, in spite of our caste, in spite of our occupation, in spite of our diseased mind and our diseased body, and despite of our what religion we may be, what creed or what gender, no matter what material designation the material nature has given us, the Lord accepts us and he gives us his mercy. And that's what we're seeing over and over throughout this pastime. So I thought of what exactly is mercy? What, when it says I'm receiving the Lord's mercy, what does that mean? And so I thought of when I was a child, and I don't know if this may be a generational sort of game that children play. But has anyone heard of the game called Mercy? A few, right. So you basically grab the hands of the other person and you try to inflict as much pain as you can until they say, mercy, mercy. And then you can let go, right? How nice is that, children? It's a game. It's a game that children play. I don't know. That's why I was bringing it up. I don't know if it's going on. I don't know if it happened before me or it's happening after me, but I remember that as a child. This game is being perpetuated. So in the mundane sense, mercy is being free from material suffering. You also see this in fighting, when someone has someone in a headlock and they're wrestling and the person starts tapping on the ground. Give me mercy, I'm done. I've suffered enough, I can't take it anymore. And so in one sense, this is mercy. Just give me some peace. Just take away the suffering. But in another sense, mercy is much deeper than that. Another term for mercy is compassion. And in the regular principles, we have compassion. Not harming any other living entity, or we know as vegetarianism, or nonviolence. But again, this also doesn't completely explain mercy. There's some mundane aspect to that vegetarianism, just not harming others. And so Srila Prabhupada says that mercy is giving others Krishna consciousness. That is true compassion. That is true nonviolence. So giving and receiving Krishna consciousness is real mercy. And so when we chant Hare Krishna, that's what we're asking for. That's the prayer. Please, Krishna, please give me your devotional service. Please help me to serve you. That's Krishna consciousness. Help me to be Krishna conscious and to give Krishna consciousness to others. And so one of the simplest ways to give mercy to others is through prasadam, or the Lord's mercy. We can give Krishna consciousness to others by feeding people the Lord's prasadam, not just vegetarian food, but food offered to Krishna. So despite our material condition, we receive the mercy of the Lord. By the grace of the devotees, we receive the mercy of the Lord. And by the Lord's mercy, we are given a chance to serve the devotees. And that's what we see here. Ishvara Puri is a pure devotee of the Lord. And he's giving Krishna's mercy. So I was thinking of an experience that I've had where I feel like I was in a very materially low down condition. Besides being in a material body, you can say there are so many ways that we are in some material condition that's terrible and that we don't deserve this mercy. But I was thinking of a practical experience where. And I think it may be easier for me to see the Lord's mercy when I feel like life is not cutting me a break. Someone who's Krishna conscious, an effect or a sign of that Krishna consciousness is that they're able to live life on life's terms. And that they're able to see Krishna in everything that happens, good and bad. So before I had moved to Gainesville, I didn't think I was ever going to live in Gainesville again. And not only that, I was hoping that I was going to stay right where I was, and I was expecting to for many years. I had my first job, and I joined a private practice, and I was hoping in a few years to become partners and make a lot of money. And I'd helped to start a preaching program that there were a few programs going on before I arrived, and it was something that I enjoyed, college preaching. So I sort of spearheaded this college preaching program, and I really became attached to that service. And so I had my material job going, and I had my preaching going, and I was thinking that this is great. And I was imagining this going on for some years. You know how in school many times they'll ask you, what's your short-term goal? What's your 5-year plan and your 10-year plan? And I had that all set up in my head. So one day I came into work and something wasn't right. And it suddenly hit me that something hadn't been right for some time, but I just wasn't really fully aware of it until that day when the physician I was working with, he didn't seem well. He seemed sick. And he was so sick that he couldn't continue to practice. He was the owner of the practice, actually. And his sickness was a material sickness that many people experience. Somewhere between 10 and 15% of people have some addiction, either alcohol or drugs. And so for the safety of the patients, we had to ask, basically coerce, or in a sense give this person the opportunity to get help, which they chose to do, fortunately. But where did that leave me? I just became full of fear. For the next 6 months, I had to work as the basic sole physician in this practice, and I'd just been out of training maybe 6 months before, so I really was relying on others to help me learn how to be an independent practitioner. Now here I was, by myself, you know, in running an office, you know, of several thousand patients, and having no one to answer to, but having to make all the decisions. And I was thinking, what's going to happen when he comes back? You know, am I going to lose my job? Is there going to be a lawsuit? Where am I going to have to find another job? Where am I going to live? All these things were starting to come into my head. And eventually he did come back, and all those things came true. I lost my job. I got fired. I needed to find another job. I was trying so hard to hold on to that idea of who I thought I was. My 5-year, my 10-year plan. I want to stay in Jacksonville. I want to keep doing this preaching mission that I've started. I want to be someone that I thought that I should be. And so I was looking for jobs, and I couldn't find anything. I was starting to get depressed. So I started to, and I, you know, I, so I started to, I was like, oh, what am I going to do? So I increased my sadhana. I started following my sadhana more strictly. I really focused on the 10 offenses and really following my sadhana strictly. I started talking to my spiritual masters, my shiksha gurus and diksha gurus, and getting inspiration from them. And shortly thereafter, after one long conversation I remember with one of my shiksha gurus, I received an email. And the email was, oh, I had known this physician that I'd done research with, and he asked me what I was doing currently, and I said, oh, I just lost my job, I'm looking for another one. So he sent my resume to another physician here in Gainesville, who then called my previous, before this employer, the employer before that, got a recommendation, and within 24 hours, he emailed me and said, do you want an interview? And I said, yeah, sure, why not? So I came here and I interviewed, and they wanted to hire me. And I was like, oh, what do I do? I mean, I don't want to move to Gainesville. I need to find a job in Jacksonville. So I was like trying to scramble all these other like leads that I had. And eventually it just became more and more obvious. The more I associated with the devotees and I revealed my mind to my guru that this is all Krishna's arrangement. I mean, any time in my life where something has suddenly happened and I've had like zero control over it, it seems like after the fact, after some time has passed, I realize, oh, this was all Krishna's arrangement, and I can see it more clearly. But because of the Vaishnava association and the association of my spiritual master, this time I could see that actually as it was happening, oh, this is Krishna. This is what Krishna wants. Why am I struggling so hard against Krishna's desire? And so all that fear I had, it didn't last very long. I didn't need to get depressed. I didn't need to get intoxicated. I didn't need to lose my mind. I was given Krishna consciousness the mercy, Krishna consciousness, I was given that from my spiritual master, from my spiritual masters. And they basically purified me of karma instantaneously, because like I said, I didn't have to get depressed. I didn't have to get intoxicated. I didn't have to do all the things that people do when they can't live life on life's terms. That's the mercy of Krishna. And we're receiving that mercy every day, every moment. And it really takes realization to see it, to experience it sometimes. And that realization we can get instantaneously from a pure devotee without having to suffer so hard, so much. So by the grace of the devotees, we receive the mercy of Krishna. And by the mercy of Krishna, we obtain the chance to serve the devotees. So why is it? Why is it that regardless of our material position, we receive the mercy of Krishna? Why is that a fact? Vidya Vinaya Sampane Brahmane Gavi Hastini Suni Chaiva Swapakecha Pandita Samadarshinaha. The humble sages, by virtue of true knowledge, see with equal vision a learned and gentle Brahmin, a cow, an elephant, a dog, and a dog eater. It's because the spiritual master sees our true nature, and our true nature is not these material designations. It's not our caste, it's not our gender, it's not our religion, it's not our job, our profession, our title, our wealth. It's not the car, you know, it's not the girlfriend, and it's not the house. Those things are not us. And that's why no matter who we are, where we are, when we are, we can receive the mercy of Krishna through his devotees. We can receive Krishna consciousness. Kiba vipra, kiba nyasi, sudra kemi naya, ye Krishna tatva veta se gura haya. This is Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhyalila 8.128. Whether one is a Brahmin, a sannyasi, or a sudra, regardless of what he is, he can become a spiritual master if he knows the science of Krishna. This is an excellent purport. Srila Prabhupada says that actually the Brahmin is supposed to be the spiritual master of all other varnas or classes, but as far as Krishna consciousness is concerned, everyone is capable of becoming a spiritual master, because knowledge in Krishna consciousness is on the platform of the spirit soul. This is the most basic concept in the Bhagavad Gita, that we're not the body. And we see this philosophy over and over again, and yet we see how easy it is to forget this and not apply it in our own lives, that we're not the body, and to hold others accountable for their body because they're a certain caste or a certain gender or a certain religion or a certain wealth. If one understands the truth of Krishna consciousness and seriously desires to attain transcendental knowledge for the perfection of life, he can accept a spiritual master from any social status, provided the spiritual master is fully conversant with the science of Krishna. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur also states that although one is situated as a Brahmin, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Sudra, Brahmacharya, Vanapras, Grihastha, or Sannyasi, if he is conversant in the science of Krishna, he can become a spiritual master as Vartma Pradakshika Guru, Diksha Guru, or Shiksha Guru. Factually, the qualifications of a spiritual master depend on his knowledge of the science of Krishna. It does not matter whether he is Brahmin, Kshatriya, Sannyasi, or Sudra. So I was thinking of other exalted Vaishnavas and how they received the mercy of Krishna, and how that can be an example to me, that they received the mercy of Krishna despite their material designation. First, I thought of pretty much every demon that's mentioned in the Shastra and how they receive the mercy of Krishna. Even though they're a demoniac, somehow Krishna was merciful to them. Even though their relationship was one of you know, fighting and being killed, still they became Krishna consciousness. They became purified by seeing the Lord when they left their body. They didn't have to take a material birth again. Specifically, Aranyakashipu, where Prahlad asks Lord Nrsimhadev to be merciful unto his father. So it's another example of how by the grace of the devotees we receive Krishna consciousness. Sometimes we hold others accountable for their body and they're not even attacking us. They're not even trying to kill us. We just do it because so that we can feel better about ourselves. But here, Prahlad's father, Aranyakashipu, is trying to kill him. And still he asks Lord Nrsimhadev to be merciful to his father. I think it's such a beautiful example. Because usually I'm not trying to be killed. No one's trying to kill me. And still, yet, I'm not able to see that I'm not this body, or that others are not their body, and treat them appropriately, treat them compassionately. Haridas Thakur, who was born in a Muslim family, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu delivered him, despite his material designation. And then Haridas Thakur delivered a prostitute, despite the fact that she was a prostitute. She became Krishna conscious by his mercy. Srila Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami, they were serving a Muslim king. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu delivered them. And so the list goes on of how, despite our material position, we receive the mercy of Krishna, if and when we're ready to receive it. So how can we become ready to receive the mercy of Krishna? How does one become qualified to receive this mercy? Tadvidhi pranipatena pari prashnena sevaya upadek shanti te jnanam jnaninas tatvadarshanaha. Just try to learn the truth by approaching a spiritual master. Inquire from him submissively and render service unto him. The self-realized souls can impart knowledge unto you because they have seen the truth. So inquiring submissively, and this takes faith. So receiving the Lord's mercy begins with shraddha, with faith, with some preliminary faith. And then we can inquire in such a way that we're going to be willing to follow the instructions of that spiritual master, the answer we receive. And maybe even before we meet a personal spiritual master, we can experience that faith by reading Srila Prabhupada's books and distributing his books and following the instructions in Srila Prabhupada's books. So inquiring submissively and then rendering service. By the grace of the devotees, we receive the mercy of Krishna. But by the mercy of Krishna, we obtain the opportunity to serve the devotees. So how is it that we serve the devotees? How is it that we serve the spiritual master? Well, in the most basic sense is by following the spiritual master's instructions. And the most basic instructions are following the four regular principles and chanting 16 rounds of Hare Krishna every day. And so we may not give this type of mercy on Sankirtan just right away, but we do share the holy name with everyone, regardless of what their faith is. And we do share prasadam with everyone, regardless of what their faith is. And when people are able to develop just a little bit of preliminary faith, they will inquire submissively. And that's our opportunity to give them Krishna consciously more directly. So what would life look like if the Lord's mercy was flowing freely? What would that experience be like? What's the spiritual world like? In the spiritual world, the devotees see everything as an opportunity to serve Krishna. And so when we are compassionate to others, despite their material flaws or their imperfections, the mercy of Krishna is flowing from us to them. When we are compassionate to others despite whatever their flaws are. And when we serve the Lord's devotees, we are receiving the mercy of Krishna. And so I'd like to end there with any questions and comments. Specifically, I had one question that I wanted you to think about either now or today, and that's, what experiences have you had that despite your material position, despite your own faults or flaws or mistakes or difficulties, that you freely receive the mercy of Krishna, either through the devotees or through some other source? Thank you, Hare Krishna. Anyone have any questions or comments? Yes,
in your little Leela, but I didn't quite get why he fired you. Because you revealed that he was, to him, that he was to do something about his addiction. Is that it?
Yes, so there was a resentment that, well, that he was forced to basically do something he didn't want to do. I tried to cut it short, but he made so many excuses and so many, he never admitted fault, and he wasn't willing to accept until he was forced, basically. But he still asked for help, but I think it was a resentment because he didn't want to do that. He wanted to do it his own way, some other way. And so there was a lot of dishonesty that came to light because of that. And so he kind of got caught in a lie, and I think that resentment wasn't able to be, kind of, there was no reconciliation for that, so.
Are you glad that you're here? That the Lord made this nice arrangement?
So this is a very nice arrangement, actually, and yeah, like I said, I love Gainesville, and I love the devotees, and I love the fact that Alatra is here and the community. Like I said, I was so tied up in this material idea that when everything was happening, you know, my first instinct was to try to hold on to it as hard as I could. And things were happening without me doing anything. You know, like the job came, I didn't do anything about it. And so once I arrived in Gainesville, it became more and more obvious that, you know, that this was Krishna's desire.
So you don't have any resentment then?
No, and that's a very good point. So, like I said, living life on life's terms, you know, in Krishna consciousness, what does that mean? I mean, I think not in Krishna consciousness, that could be the mode of goodness. You know, not becoming angry, not making a resentment, being nice to others, even though, you know, you're suffering through something that's really difficult. But not making a resentment and seeing that it's because of Krishna's will, that's Krishna consciousness. That living life on life's terms is because these terms are Krishna trying to give me his mercy. He wants me to come back. He's not doing this to out me. You know, he's not killing the demons because he hates them. No, it's about the relationship we have with Krishna. And seeing that relationship, it makes one free from suffering automatically, and it makes one naturally happy.
So which verses come to mind when what you're explaining here? Krishna has also said that a couple different places. I was wondering if you had connected them to the different verses.
Lino.
The one that comes to mind first is 529. He has Krishna's a Suri Dhamma, and he's your best friend. And things that happen when you recognize, oh, this is being done by my best friend, you feel a lot better than if you think it's being done by malice or some other things. So that always can be conspiracy theory. It's your best friend who's actually arranging it.
Yes, please.
So I'm trying to understand this now. What you're trying to say is that hanging out with devotees in Alachua work with drug addicts in Jacksonville?
Well, there's devotees in Jacksonville. Actually, now there's a preaching center in Jacksonville. It's called the Bhakti House. It's in downtown Jacksonville, part of Jacksonville called Springfield. And there's a lot of very nice preaching going on in Jacksonville. And it's nice to be able to be a part of that. I recommend if you're ever visiting Jacksonville or driving through that you contact Amrita Kaili Prabhu or Lovelesh Prabhu and check out the Bhakti House there and the preaching they're doing. It's very nice. Yes.
Thinking about your story, I was thinking that is it because you were wanting to be where you were, because when we're familiar with our situation, we prefer to be there because there's a fear of the unknown. Like going to Gainesville or going or whatever, you know, there's a fear of the unknown. I was wondering if mercy, we have fear because we don't realize the mercy of the Lord. Is that where the fear comes from? When we have fear of anything, I guess I think about fear of the unknown. Is that because of our not really seeing that how Krishna is merciful?
Yeah, I think we have fear because we're trying to rely on ourselves, and because that self-reliance fails us. And then we basically feel alone, like we have no discourse. And so, why do we rely on ourselves? It's because of pride. It's because we think we're in control and we think we're running the show. And when that self-reliance fails us, we have fear. I mean, there's also fear of things that we should be afraid of. A venomous snake. You know, I found a snake in my yard the other day and I didn't know if it was venomous or not, but it was coming into my house, so I hit it with a shovel. And I was afraid. I thought it was a venomous snake. That type of fear is normal. But when the fear has to do with trying to be in control of something which is not our true position to be in control of, then we become afraid because we fail. And we, like you said, we start, then what comes into question is our own identity. And the ego tries to defend that in so many ways, to the point of madness. And this is why people, one reason why people use drugs, because they don't have to confront the mind. They don't have to deal with this question. They can just be intoxicated.
A couple of verses, purports came to mind. This first one is 5:12 from the purport. I always remember this one. It says, but one who is entangled in profit calculation for sense gratification, I thought that's an interesting thing. You cannot have that peace. This is the secret of Krishna conscious realization, that there's no existence besides Krishna as the platform of peace and fearlessness. And then, of course, the famous one is 11237. But maybe John Mastin, you can say that one. I can put it up on the screen.
Okay, you want to hear it?
Okay.
Bayam Duti Yadi Niva Bayam Duti Yadi Niva Shad, Shadi Pitasha Vitario Chimpi, and Maya Toku Abhakam, Akyaika Yasham Guru Deva Katna. Fear overcomes the living entity when he misidentifies himself as a material body because of the absorption in the external energy, energy of the Lord. When the living entity thus turns away from the Supreme Lord, he also forgets his own constitutional position as a servant of the Lord. This bewildering, fearful condition is affected by the potency for illusion called Maya. Therefore, an intelligent person should engage unflinchingly in the unalloyed devotional service of the Lord under the guidance of a bona fide spiritual master whom he should accept as his worshipful deity in his very life and soul. Prabhupada translates it differently in Madhya Lila in chapter 22, where he says that there's a role reversal. Vipariya Smriti, one sees himself rather than as Krishna's servant, he becomes Krishna's competitor.
Chai. Thank you for your questions and comments. Chaitanya Charitamrita ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Gaura Premanandi.